Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move, it makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here, it makes me want to,
let it go, can't let this thing called love get away from you, feel free right now, go do what you want to do, can't let nobody take it.
Bye.
into it, into you, kings and queens. Get into you and your chakras by getting intuitive with Tina Wolf and Shaman Baba T. Reach out to Drip the Mic every Thursday night. Crystals, stones, spirit animals, and spiritual advice to enhance your life. These high energy guides are anxiously waiting with agape love, anticipating your questions, lessons in the spiritual, authentic life suggestions. Do not cheat your soul by missing these Thursday sessions. Again, do not cheat your soul by missing these Thursday sessions. We have been gifted with divine wisdom lifted through the lenses of these two powerful vessels, an intensified way to let go of negative leeches and energy draining serpents, and you won't regret those sights unseen through the naked eye. It's like when evil attacks, it latches on and wants to attach. But I see no lies when I say being intuitive provides you with the spiritual spy as your ally. So again, I say into it, into you, intuitive. Kings and queens, I got a question. Don't you think it's time that you align your mind with your spiritual grind? We have lined up the guidance that you need to help you gain that control. Weekly, we feed your soul. Baba T and Tina unfold their keys on how to spiritually live. And right now, they are here to give. Let's get intuitive. It is time to get intuitive. Kings and queens, Drip the Mic presents Being Intuitive with Tina Wolf and Shaman Baba T.
Hey, you guys, it's your girl, Tina Wolf. Oh, my goodness. Tonight is one of my favorite nights, which is Women's Talk Night. So tonight we're going to have a couple of topics that we're going to talk about this evening. And for those of you guys that are tuned in that want other things, I know you guys normally watch me on a Facebook Live, but right now I'm out in these streets. So, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to get to see my beautiful face, but you will be able to hear my lovely voice on tonight, okay? So for those of you that have not tuned into the show before, I just want you guys to know that tonight is a special night. It's our Women's Talk Night. And on Women's Talk Night, we are only inviting in women's topics, okay? Men, for those of you that are listening in, we love and appreciate all the support you give us. So if you have something positive or uplifting you would like to share, or you have some positive poetry that you would like to add and share with us, you know, to uplift the women, or, you know, we're down for the erotic stuff as well, you know what I'm saying? Just go ahead and you can drop that by pressing number one if you have called into the show, okay? So the number here is 646-378-0355, and you just press 1 if you would like to comment or you want to share some poetry or something like that. So on this show, normally, and especially on tonight, there is not going to be anything that is censored. So if you have little ones, you got the little kitties, okay, make sure that you put their asses to bed because they don't need to hear anything that's being said. This is grown folks stuff on tonight. You feel me? So go ahead and put those little kitties to bed and or go ahead and put your headphones on, you know what I'm saying, so that they can't hear everything that's going on and you'll be able to focus on the wonderful conversations that we're going to have tonight, all right? Now, tonight, I did bring my Romance Angels deck just in case, you know what I'm saying, just in case some of you ladies would like to have a quick love reading, you know, tonight, if that's what you guys would like to do. And I even brought my numerology book, okay, to maybe do one or two people so that you guys can get kind of familiar with that. That is a service that I am offering on my website, thesatina.com, the Numerology Project course, okay? So before we get started, y'all remember the show is for entertainment purposes only, okay? During the show, and because readings may go on as well, so I'm going to just do this disclaimer. During the show, I may understand, you may not. You may understand, I may not. We both may understand during the show, or we both may not understand during the show, but I'm going to ask that you respect my perspective, and I will also respect your perspective as well. If the information or the message that you are receiving is different from the information or the message that I'm providing, it's quite all right. Please share the message because it may be for me or it may be for someone else. Please do not use this radio show, God bless you, as a form of therapy or advice. Please take the information that you need and throw the rest away. I'm kind of feeling like vibing out right now, like just kind of chilling. So I'm going to bring in, especially since I have my Romance Angels deck here, before we get started with the topics, maybe this will kind of help some of the topics along. I'm going to go ahead and vibe out, and we're going to roll out to some Erykah Badu, because that's my girl. I guess I'll see you next lifetime.
Yeah, we've been knowing each other for a while. I'm into you. I don't know what I got to do, you know, get closer to you.
Wait a minute. Now, you know I'm in a situation. Why are you in? Don't do this. Why are you tripping like that?
Well, I understand that, but your whole vibe is, you know, I can see myself being with you forever.
That's really beautiful. And I kind of dig you, too. You know that. We're friends. I'm in a situation. I'm in a relationship. And you know what that means.
Well, whatever I gotta do, I'll do it for you.
You're putting me in an awkward situation.
Now, what am I supposed to do when I want you in my
Y'all. Okay, I have two ladies that I'm going to be bringing on. Okay, let me go ahead and bring them on right now. All right, so we have Miss Mona Lisa. Miss Mona Lisa, say hey to the people, girl.
Hey, everybody. Hi there. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing great. And then we also have the lovely Miss Mac. Miss Mac, say hello to the people.
Hey, y'all.
All right. So I want you guys, but you know who me, it's ladies night. Hey, ladies, I want you guys, ladies, to start. Mona Lisa, go ahead and introduce yourself and let the people know a little bit about you and who you are.
Sure. Okay, so I'm Mona Lisa J. I am the host and executive producer of a show called Prisoner of Hope that's going to be releasing Thanksgiving Day. I was previously on a show called 60 Days In, which aired on A&E, where I went to jail undercover to kind of learn about the system. And so this new show that I'm doing is going to be dealing with families who've been impacted by incarceration, and we're bringing them all of the things that they need in order to heal and to rebuild their family unit. So we're discussing some very deep issues that are you know, probably not going to be discussed in everyday, you know, conversations, like possibly getting over the guilt and shame of having a loved one incarcerated. And so that's what I'm doing. I also own a production company, and we do full service advertising and television production. And that's what I'm doing here in this life. I'm in New York, and I'm having a blast. I'm living. I'm taking one day at a time. I'm COVID-free, thank God, and that's just about all I can tell you.
Amen, amen, amen. Especially on the COVID thing. Woo-wee, man. And they were saying New York had it the worst in the beginning. Like, y'all wasn't letting nobody come in. Y'all selfish.
I know. And look, we're back to shutting it down again. Like, it started this past Friday. So, you know, when we shut down, the world is going to follow. So wherever you are, you might as well get ready, because it's coming. A second wave is already here. It's not coming. It's here.
Wow. So those people that are interested in taking a peek at your show, The Prisoner of Hope, where can they find you, or where can they find clips of your show?
Sure. You can catch out the trailer right now. It's at Prisoner of Hope TV, and it's on YouTube. It's streaming live starting on Thanksgiving Day at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. But right now you can catch some secret clips, and you can go catch the trailer and stuff like that.
I actually took some time to go in and watch all of them except for the one, the 10-minute one, because I stopped right there because the last one, the very last one that I watched, where you were having the scene with the young lady. I call everybody young ladies, with the young lady, and you were explaining to her that there was a possibility that her son could actually be in the location that she was in, the great state of Texas. And I could just feel the immense energy coming through there. You could tell that you really care about people and that you really care about the families that you're helping as well. So I was like, man, just watching that part, I don't know what I'm going to do with 10 minutes, let alone a whole show. So I'm saving that 10 minutes for when I'm close by next to my kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you will be crying on that. I'm sorry. Between the chills and crying and feeling free, you know, that's what my job is, to bring hope to those who feel like, you know, they're, you know, in a prison to whatever. You know, it's better to be a prisoner to hope than it is to be a prisoner to something like, you know, prison.
Oh, yes. Man. All right. Now, we also have the other young lady, Miss Mac, who is there as well. Miss Mac, shout out to the people. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Max. That's correct. So my Instagram is Max Mobile Beauty, and I'm basically just use IG with that. I do hair. I am actually Miss Mona Lisa's personal stylist besides her very, very special daughter.
My bonus daughter.
Her bonus daughter. I'm her bonus daughter. I follow her ever. I love her so much. And she just gives, like she was saying, just to piggyback off what she was saying, she gives me hope. She is my inspiration. She's definitely my mentor. And I, too, am in her show. I just want to bring awareness to people post-incarceration and how families are dealing with it. And so I just want to be like a poster child for how you can live out the incarceration. You can live, you can thrive. You don't have to be what they say you are. You can erase that capital F off your report card. And so I just want to show the world that.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for being on the show tonight. I appreciate you ladies being on. For those of you that are listening, okay, you can make sure to press number one if you would like to question, comment, join in the conversation, speak, or, you know, even if you got some poetry that you want to kick, you know, we're down for that, any of that tonight as well. And ladies, that is for you. Men, y'all got to shut the hell up and just listen. Tonight, shut the hell up and listen tonight for the men. But you want to say something positive and you want to give us some support, that's great. If you want to do poetry, that's great. All you got to do is push the number one. We always love it when the men call in, and we've had a couple of men to call in and just uplift us, and that is, man, that is so much needed with the women. So tonight, ladies, Miss Mona Lisa and Miss Matt, we can talk about absolutely anything and everything. So if you feel I'm bringing up something that is offensive to you or you don't want to answer, you can just say you don't want to answer, and that's cool. We're going to roll with it. But your girl want to go in strong, so I'm just going to touch on this real quick. How are you ladies, because y'all grown, how are you ladies handling, you know, I don't know your relationship statuses and stuff, but how y'all handling sex during this pandemic? Let's just go there.
Oh, my. My. That's a great conversation. I can't wait to talk about that.
Okay, well, I mean, I can go first. I don't mind going first. You know, my callers are listening to, used to my craziness. During the pandemic, it has been a little bit tough because I'm single. So being single, you can't really date. I'm just being real. So it's like, what are your options? Let's see, your options are to go back to your exes. Do you really want to do that? Or do you want to set up a regular booty call? Okay. You know, I'll be honest and say, you know, last booty call is probably like in April. So there's been definitely a lot of masturbation going on in my home. So just saying, that's what's going on in my home. And I know on one of the other shows we had talked about toys and other things. So I'm just curious, what y'all doing over there?
So you talking to us, my dear?
No, I'm talking to y'all. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool. Okay, so here's what I have done. Okay, and I'm excited about what I have done because I too was single when the pandemic
mm-hmm.
started in New York, where the whole world shut down. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to date online and see what that's like. Now, here's why I chose it. Because I felt like, you know, men are usually very interested in me to have me as eye candy and to have me as that it girl on their arm. And basically, they just want to have sex. So I said, okay, this is a great way to, you know, to filter through dudes that's all that they're interested in, because they can't meet me in person. They can't meet me in person at all. They've got to deal with me on the phone, on video chat and stuff like that. So that forced them, in my opinion, to get to know me better and for me to be able to filter out the suckers. But, you know, even though COVID was at its height, you know that didn't stop anybody from still trying
mm-hmm.
to come out and meet me. I'm like, oh, my God.
You're right.
I can't believe it. They still trying to get some sex no matter what. They're going to die to get the sex, okay?
They're going to die to get the cooch. Oh, man.
Oh, yes. So that's what I did, and I lucked up. I actually met somebody, and I've been dating this guy, and, oh, yes, indeed, we've been having sex. So, you know, That's how I get through the pandemic. Just keep it moving.
Just keep it moving, huh? Okay, Miss Mac, what's going on with you, Miss Lady?
Well, I've been in a relationship this whole time, whole pandemic. So my issue was trying to keep it spicy. During the pandemic, first of all, you're talking to each other every day, all day. I see you, I wake up to you, everything. It's just me and you. Pretty much that's the only person you saw in your household. So you just, relationships during the quarantine have to be really tough. Y'all finding new ways to engage. Y'all finding new ways to keep it spicy. Y'all trying to, like, do different things. That's going to keep her interest. Because I learned patience like I didn't know I had during this quarantine. That's one thing I got for sure. And so did my partner. So our sex life is live. I feel like it's live. It's spicy. I watch porn more than I ever have, honey. Ever.
Girl, say that again. I think I looked it up so many times. I keep coming across the same videos. Oh shoot.
I think they targeting me now. I think they sending me little pop up ads. They know I like to see, honey. They send me the sexy ads. They know I want to see because I done watched them so much. I'm a frequent flyer.
Right.
Send me pop up ads. Yes. But that's what we've been doing. We watch a little porn, and you know, if we do.
Already. I actually, during this pandemic, decided to get on Amazon. I have a huge sex toy collection and restraint collection because I'm really huge into the restraints and that type of play. So what I decided to do was to go ahead and create my BDSM list. So I have some things on my list, and I'm just, you know, I don't know. Do you guys play with toys? Do y'all entertain toys or restraints?
Mac just said she is definitely into restraint. Me personally, I have a closet full of toys. So, yes.
Restraint in
itself. Oh, I need to see your closet.
Yes, man. I really like restraints. I'm into that. Again, another thing we learned during the corona is you got time on your hands. You start doing stuff, figuring out what you like, don't like. Start trying to find new hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
I found that I'm very much into bondage and all that kind of stuff. That's what I think you're
in
my business. That's what I'm looking up the most. It's
bonding.
I'm
getting
my
first
kiss.
She in the
browser. Well, you know what? It's okay. But you know what? I love and appreciate the vulnerability that you're having right now. Because you know what? There are a lot of ladies that are into it, and not most of us speak on it. And a lot of us just don't even know how to approach our mates with it. I mean, your girl done been married 4 times and in 3 relationships, okay? So I'm usually the one introducing them. Most of the time, the men are like, their first response, oh, you don't need nothing but me. And I'm like, yes, baby, you know what? You sure is right. I don't need nothing but you. But I just want to, can we play a little cops and robbers? Can you just handcuff me and do whatever you like? You know, sometimes you can't just tell them, you know, hey, I want you to tie me up, which I, you know, that don't work. So I kind of got to finesse, you know, a little seduction. So Miss Mac, when you were when you and hubby decided to bring that in, how did that conversation, like, who brought that up first?
So I'm trying to make this sound politically correct without being crazy, but me, honey, I am always the adventurous one. I'm definitely the one trying. First, I might show it on my phone, like, ooh, look at this. And then, depending on reaction I get, I might be like, oh, well, let's talk about it. If I get a bad reaction, I'm going to be like, oh, just kidding. But if I get a good reaction, baby, I'm going to pull out all this information because I've already researched it 3 times. And I've been excited about it. So a lot of information out there. I want to just see what stick, basically. Whichever one stick, I roll with.
So if anybody walks into your house and they see hooks hanging from the ceiling, just don't worry about it. It's just a sex swing that's going to be hanging up, okay? Okay.
Hilarious.
So, Miss Mona Lisa, I actually have a post that I wanted to bring up on the show. And since you said that you decided to do the internet dating at first, right? which I've done it. It's, oh, my God. When I first went through a breakup, everybody's like, no, no, you got to take time to yourself. Don't go right out there and date, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I used to do that, and all I did was found myself being lonely. So I decided I was going to go ahead and date. What's that?
She said, mm-hmm. She said she agrees with you, lonely as hell. It's just stupid to think like that.
Yes, exactly. So what I decided to do was I'm going to go ahead and date. And I'm so glad that I did it because going through, just like you said, through the internet, you would start talking to people, you know what, you ain't the one. And at least I'm not sitting at the dinner table with you before I figure this out. You know what I'm saying? So I get to have this conversation with you while I'm going through that process. One of the posts that actually came up, I belong to this group, a singles group on Facebook, and I thought this question was really intriguing. And it says, can a woman turn a man off by being too independent? This was the question. And I just thought to myself, I think yes and no, because it really depends on the man. And the reason why I'm asking you, you know, because I'm currently dating, but we're gonna see. I feel good about this one, but having a certain level of independence, when I was first going through my men, the comment that I would hear is, you too busy. It seems like you too busy. I don't even think you're going to have time for me. You making this kind of money? Or, it was more of an intimidation factor. So, you know, before you found your king, you know, when you found your boo, did you find, like, going through the dating situation, because I know you personally, so I know you're a very independent woman, take care of yourself and all that. Did you find yourself running into that, like some men kind of being turned off with your independence?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had so many men tell me that I'm too independent for them and that they can't handle me and that, you know, what they're looking for is something a little bit more docile and somebody more, you know, who's going to listen to what they're telling them to do and can be taught something. And I said, okay, well, maybe I got a problem because maybe everybody thinks I'm a know-it-all or something. And that's not quite the scenario. It's just that, you know, I've been able to hold my own and I have a certain taste that I live with. And I've been able to achieve that, you know, and I've done it in part with guys and also by myself. So I think it's very much possible that people can, and they do, get intimidated by independence. But at the same time, I agree with you. There are men out there who are super strong, and I call them alpha males. Those alpha males, you can find them, okay? And them brothers right there,
girl,
the white brothers, the Latin, the black brothers, if you find you an alpha, oh, my.
Girl, now wait a minute. It's the way and the energy of the way you said it. You stepped on their toe, held them down, and hit them with the uppercut. You know, because a lot of men think that they're automatically alphas. So can you give me your definition of what an alpha is, just so that, you know, the callers know what you mean by alpha? And I'm sure going to share mine. You go right ahead.
Certainly, no problem. So I agree a lot of men do think they're alpha, but they don't know what that means. So an alpha male is the man. Let me take you to the forest. Go out into the forest. Let's go out into the tree. Like you go to the lion culture, okay? And when you go to the lion culture, you're always going to have the head lion, and then you're going to have the lioness. That head lion will have multiple lions that are women that will be following him, will be taking care of him, and will also be, you know, handling his pride, if you will, right? His pride is his entire culture of animals that follow him, right? So the alpha male is the one who, they walk in the room, they are immediately looked up to. People know there's something special about them, and other men tend to want to follow this person. You know, like sometimes pastors are also alpha males. Sometimes doctors are also alpha males. It just kind of depends on, you know, drug dealers. I mean, you know, it's all kind of people out there that are alpha males, but they know that their strength is leadership. They know that when they talk and open their mouth, people go, I need to listen to this person, and they may not even know why. But when they walk into the room and there are other guys around, it's almost as if men fall into position of order, and the alpha is usually the lead. And so if there's more than one alpha in a room, it's going to be ugly because somebody going to fight to death until they stand tall as the total alpha, which is like the lion pride.
Yep. Well, I can't even add to that. I have nothing to say. I'm on the same wavelength as that. You took that. I'm good with that. So check this out. I'm going to read a couple of some of the comments that were made, and I find it interesting. Like when a question like this gets asked to me, in my opinion, I look forward to the men's answers, but I notice a lot of the time the women will come on and answer the questions, and I'm like, this is really a man question, because you can always tell where the healing needs to be, because you get a lot of sometimes, you know, defensive comments. So I'm just going to read a couple of them. I'm going to read one from a gentleman, and he said, "Not for me. But I can see how it can affect the relationship because she gets used to things the way she has been doing them. So when a man comes into doing things different, she can be unreceptive of the difference." And if you ladies want to comment, you could just jump right in. You'd say, hey, hey. Another one is Shanette. Oh, didn't want to say her name. My bad. Young lady. This young lady, she commented and said, yep. That's why they jump the fence to other races, because they make them feel needed. Now, this particular young lady is black, so she made that comment. You know, whenever people make that type of comment, to me, it's like, is there an insecurity in you? I don't know. That's just my
opinion. I have to agree with you on that, because, you know, some white women are equally as aggressive and as independent as black women. And I think the thing that I have found, because I'll be honest with you, I'm half black and half white. My mom is Italian. My daddy's black and Cherokee Indian. And I know both sides because I've lived it, I've experienced it, and I am it. So, not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with what she just said, but I will say this. You know, there are some white women who know who they are, And there are some white women who have been, taught culturally that, you know, the man is the head, and the man, you know, has the leadership in their home, has the leadership in their homes. And because they have the leadership in their home, you know, it's just that a woman is not to necessarily submit, but to stand beside. And so we kind of misconstrue that as, you know, a black woman is different than a white woman. And then sexually, some white women are just more free because we were raised, like I was raised in a Southern, I mean, not Southern, in a Baptist church. And I was taught that sex is dirty. I was taught that sex was wrong. And I would say a whole lot of black women are taught that, you know, that sex is not right. Sex is dirty. Sex is wrong. But white people are not taught that. White people are taught a little bit differently. Like, you know, it's okay, Bobby, to be open. It's okay to be free, Susie. Like, explore yourself, honey. Let yourself flow. You know what I mean? And I think that we just don't understand, because it appears like, you know, we've gotten so, as black women, we've gotten so, you know, locked down. You know, almost locked down in how we're supposed to be feeling, and most of us don't want to allow ourselves to be free. So with that being the case, it looks like they're going to the white girl, but they ain't. Okay, Max says she got something to say. I'm sorry.
I have to speak on this topic. I think it's because, most importantly, I was just talking about this conversation with my friend earlier, so I want to say this and make this one point. I'm just as open to stuff as my white counterparts. The only thing is, they're going to try them before they try us. It's much more open. It's much more available. It's easier conversation to have with women, because we already, as black women, we already got the stigmatism that we're too aggressive, we're too angry, we're already a mean lady. So they already confine us into a box, so we already got an attitude. So people assume that we're problematic. So therefore, they go with the unproblematic person, woman, which is going to be the, you know, the fairer shade. But I think I'm just as open to any and everything, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
I be me and my counterpart. I be looking for the most. I think I look for equal. I'm an equal opportunist.
Gotcha. And there you have it, right?
And there it is. And there it is. And you know, I've had I typically have more male friends than I have female friends, but I've been working on changing my energy lately, so I'm starting to have more female friends, which I'm so glad, because I feel like it's so good and refreshing to have a sisterhood. Like, you know, even though everybody's dynamic may be, you know, a little bit different, but when I have my male friends, a lot of them would say, Tina, you're so different from any other woman. Like, it's like you're not really black. And I'm like, well, what you mean I'm not really black? Because clearly I'm black. Like, says it on my birth certificate, you know. But what they would say is, but you're so open and willing to try things. And I said, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm, it's just all me. Sometimes, and this is just my belief, this is me, in my experience, sometimes it takes a certain type of man, that alpha man that Ms. Mona Lisa was talking about earlier, that alpha man to bring that sensuality out of you, bring that feminine side out, to bring that dominant and submissive side of that woman out. I'm personally a switch, and for those of you that are listening that are not familiar with BDSM and you don't know what a switch is, that means you have the ability to be dominant and submissive. Now, I'm bisexual. Y'all already know I'm bisexual, for those of y'all that have listened before. So with me, I'm dominant with both men and women. However, when it comes to my dominance, my submission, excuse me, because my submission, I'm submissive to men, but I'm just not going to be submissive to a woman. I don't, you know, that's going to be a no-brainer. But that's just my stance on that. So with having more dominance in me, it definitely is going to take an alpha male to be able to present himself and pull that out. The thing about me is, because I'm willing to be submissive, it's been easier to seduce the man and entice him into being submissive to me. To me, that's called seduction. I don't know. Do you ladies have that, or do you call it something similar? Are you more dominant most of the time when it comes to the sex room, or is it an equal balance? I don't know y'all's dynamics, but...
I'm the most dominant you can be. I'm almost obnoxious with it. I want it to go my way. In the bedroom, I want it to go my way. Anybody dealing with me, they know in the bedroom I want it to go my way. Any other, you know, parts of life, have at it. But this right here, this me. That's why I told you. I come in the room with a part wheel. That's okay, hold on, here's mine.
My baby, she has to go. So she did my hair, and thank you so much. I am definitely
a balanced individual.
Mm-hmm. I am definitely a balanced individual, and I say the reason why I'm balanced is because it depends on a couple of things. You know, how many drinks I done had. Is it a more
if there are any added influences is what that's what I like to call them. If there are any added influences.
Yes, if there's any added influences, let me be proper. If there's any added influences, then you know that kind of changes whether or not I'm the dominator or not. But once I dominate, you will know. You will know that I'm dominating, and I doubt if you're gonna say no. That's kind of how I feel.
Mm-hmm. 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 So is there, do you think, and I asked this question on another show, so I'll ask you this. Do you tend to have more male friends than female friends?
when I was younger, I would definitely say I had more male friends than female friends. And then as I started getting older, I started realizing that the mates that I had wasn't playing that. They weren't quite okay with,
yeah,
you know, having male friends. So I started switching back to females. And I still have a few male friends, but now I'm back to more females again than males. And I think that,
mm-hmm,
I prefer an alpha female like yourself. You know, like I prefer alpha,
mm-hmm,
females in my circle.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'm not really with the docile, weak, timid female. That's just not my thing. And if she's around me, she'll usually last about 5 minutes because, you know, it's either you're going to raise up and stand up or you got to keep it pushing. So that's probably why I prefer men, you know, because men kind of just have that stronger, they're not so emotional, they're not so gossipy because I can't stand all that gossip. I can't stand all that.
Ooh, man. That part. But I don't know. Some of the men I know now are gossipy more than women. I've actually had some men come back to me asking me some things, and I'm like, how do you find that out? You know, because you shouldn't know that. So I know recently, I know when I met you, because the way we met was on Facebook. We met on Facebook, and I was going live doing my reading, and I met you, and then you actually was like, oh, I'm going to visit Dallas. And I was like, well, girl, this is where I live, so come on through. And so I actually got to spend some time with you face-to-face and introduce you to, you know, to some of my friends. And I really keep my space tight. I don't just allow anybody, you know, into my circle. And since you're that type of woman that you're, I feel similarly that you are the same. How do I want to word this? I want to say, are you starting to feel, because you say you're starting to have more female friends now, and so am I. Are you feeling like that sisterhood is really needed for a reason, or do you think it's just, I'm just needing more women and having this sisterhood just to have it?
I believe with every fiber of my being that sisterhood is absolutely starting to become more needed for me. And as I get older, my heart starts to get more, you know, soft, and I start to feel more love and more genuine need to have someone who understands me, you know, and who has some of the same likes and dislikes that I have. And I definitely think that sisterhood is important because it strengthens us and it gives us the ability, you know, to have somebody to talk to that is like us. You know, likeness is very important. And granted, you know, some guys are equally like me. I mean, they're very emotional. They're very, you know, highly intuitive, and they're nice and, you know, stuff like that. But it's just something about my sister that a man can't replace, you know. They just can't.
Yeah. So here's something that I want to ask, because somebody said, I actually dealt with this situation in the past. I had a situation where in the past I dated someone, and I had actually been in a relationship with them. But then it didn't work out, but I happened to start dating someone that they were close to. Now, I was in my 20s when I did that. That's not something that's a part of my structure now. Like, I wouldn't do that, you know, to somebody. I wouldn't go out with somebody that I've, you know, if you're my ex-boyfriend, I'm not messing with none of your peeps, you know. If you're my girl, I'm not messing with nobody, man, because I had an experience where I did do that with a young lady that was very close to me, and her experience with that was so painful that I decided that I would never do that, you know, to anyone again. I have a couple of people that I know that think a little bit differently than me, and, you know, when presenting this type of situation, the question was asked of me. Two things. So one, with the sisterhood, they're like, So if your ex didn't work for you, but it works for your friend, you wouldn't feel comfortable with that? And I'm like, no, because why would she want to be with someone that hurt me? And she said, but it just was probably that you guys weren't supposed to be together. You know what I'm saying? So when she said that, I was like, no. But then I thought about the situation where I had, where I did have a relationship with someone and I ended up talking to someone that they were close to back in my 20s. But I just didn't look at it and think about it that way. I actually talked to that gentleman a little bit later in life. I spoke with him and asked him how he felt, you know, back then about the situation, and he said that he was hurt. He said, but I knew that I didn't make you happy, and at least if you were with him and he made you happy, I didn't want to stand in the way of that. And to me, I looked at that like, wow, that's powerful and that's really loving. I just don't know if I would be able to give that type of gift, you know, to someone. So I'm just wondering if you have any insight or talk or anything. I mean, anything that you'd like to comment on about that?
You know, I think that in life, people make a lot of different types of decisions that when they're young and they get older, they look back on them and they say, you know, had I known what I know now, I wouldn't do what I did then. But then you have some
mm-hmm.
people that'll say, hey, I'm going to do the same thing I did yesterday, today, and forevermore. So it just depends on the character that you got inside of you and what you think is right or wrong, you know. And that, and the thing I like to say to other people is, you know, you have to see what's right or wrong for you. You know, granted, there is a society where there's legal issues and there's things that we should do that's legal and not legal, you know, that we can decipher between. But there are some things emotionally that some people can't tell you what to do. Only you can tell you what to do. So, you know, I feel like when women date their friend, man, you know what I mean, after the fact,
mm-hmm.
that's something that if you're a real woman, you will have discussed with your friend in advance and you guys will have come to some sort of an understanding, whether it's an agreement or disagreement or you agree to disagree. Nevertheless, it's something that you would probably want to discuss than to go behind your girl's back and do that. That's how I would look at it. And I would be loyal to mm-hmm. someone where I wouldn't want to do anything like that at any point in my life, whether I was young, old, or indifferent. So that's my philosophy. Loyalty is one of my primary characteristics. So for me, you know, I feel like that's what I live by and die by. So you mess with my man after the fact, it'd be all right, but you need to talk to me about it first and make sure that I'm aware, you know. And
yeah.
if it is what it is, you probably won't be in my circle after that, but you can still have what you want.
Mm-hmm. That part. Wow. She said you could still have.
Yeah,
because
I'm always be wondering if, you know, while I was with him, was you always wanting him at the time? I mean, the reality is going to be
yeah.
that. That is reality. So for me, that's a loyalty
yeah.
issue, and I won't have no problem with saying yes to if that's what you want, but you will no longer be in my circle after that.
Right. And I agree because I actually had that to happen with me with a best friend. So I was like, you know, they didn't go into a relationship, but they were having conversations behind my back. Like, you're my man and you're my best friend. Why are y'all talking behind it? And then y'all are choosing each other over me. That was like hurtful, you know. So that's why when I had those experiences when I was younger, I decided, like you said, to have that loyalty going first. I don't care if I don't even care if we're not friends anymore. Even if we're not friends anymore, if that was your man once upon a time, I don't even want him. I don't even want him. If he was your booty call, I don't even want him. If he was, I don't even want him. I don't. So that's something that has come up in the sisterhood, and there is there's some women group of women that I do talk to but they actually are like, no, I would let you go and be happy, and I would be cool with it and not be okay with y'all. But like I said, I guess it's that, you know, like you said, that conversation. But to me, like you said, it would always be, like, in the back of my mind. And I guess it's kind of it's challenging for me to, when you're in it, because, like, back in the day when I was in it, I didn't look at it like that. It was just like, this is somebody that I love and this is somebody that I care about. I didn't look at, oh, this is your close friend. But like the guy said, when I talked to him later, they both talked about it and they were okay with it. So it's just interesting,
well,
the dynamics.
At the end of the day, yeah, at the end of the day, there are rules to the girls' game. You know what I mean? There are rules to the sisterhood. And for those of us who
mm-hmm.
really, sisterhood has rules to it. Those of us who are serious about it need to understand that there's like top three rules. Number one, loyalty, okay? If you are
mm-hmm.
calling your own
mm-hmm.
sister, would you betray your own sister? Well, that would be no. So, you know what I mean?
No.
For those of us who are doing the right thing, you know, you can't go wrong by doing what's right.
So, mm-hmm.
you know, loyalty is number one when it comes down to sisterhood. Number two, you know, love, you know, because you got to have love, you know, to have people around you that you really care about and that you want to do things with and be with and grow with, you know. So you got loyalty, you got love. And then number three, in my opinion, you know, is that creativity and acceptability, you know, of someone's creativity. Like, be accepting, have an accepting spirit, because, you know, when you create a sisterhood, you have to realize that everybody is not the same. So, like, when I look at Tina, I'm like, when I look at you, Tina, I know for a fact we may not be hardly anything alike, but at the same time, I respect all of your differences. I respect your creative and your genius. I respect the fact that you are one amazing, talented teacher who is by far exceeding me in the area of spirituality. And so, therefore, I yield and I submit to that because I love you and because I have loyalty towards you. That's sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And you know what? I love how you did that, and we're going to end the show on that note. we're going to roll out with that vibe. I really appreciate you being on the show, Miss Mona Lisa, and I'm definitely going to be watching The Prisoner of Hope. Like I said, for those of you that have not watched, you can go on to, I watched mine on YouTube, The Prisoner of Hope, and watch those clips, and I look forward to that coming out. You said Thanksgiving Day, right?
Yes, Prisoner of Hope TV, Thanksgiving Day, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, 7 p.m. Central.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you once again, and I'm sure this won't be the last time that you will be on the show. Next time we're going to bring you on the show as a guest so we can get to know you on a deeper level and learn a little bit more about the show and the things that you've done, because I've actually had experiences in my past with family members, and even I was even married to a gentleman that was actually incarcerated at one point. So you and I will have a lot to talk about on the show.
I'd be
so
honored to do that. Thank you very much.
From that view. Oh, no, you're so welcome, because I really want to help to push and promote your show, because, like I said, the work that you're doing is just it's so amazing, and it is so needed, because the things that the families go through, it's really tough, and I'm hoping that the show, and I know it will give people the outside perspective, because a lot of times when people hear that somebody's in jail, they automatically draw conclusions as to why they're there, who they're there, and what, and they're like, well, your son did this, or your man did that, or your daughter did this, and what you boohooing for, and get over it, and they, you know, is coming from a lack of a compassion side, you know. So I just look forward to seeing all of those, you know, topics and things like that coming up in the show. So I definitely look forward to having you back on the show and us having a conversation about that, and even maybe sending out some great spiritual healing out to those people that are incarcerated and or their families that are still going through those experiences, because I've had it happen within my family. I've had it happen you know, with my children. And like I said, I also was in a intimate relationship. I was actually married to someone that was incarcerated. So I can, a lot of people don't know that about me, but that is definitely something I want to have on the show so we can continue to spread your healing with the Prisoner of Hope. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. And for those of you guys who don't know, Tina is also a teacher in our membership community called The Vault, which will also be releasing the day or two after the show. And The Vault is a video resource library where she and many other teachers will be teaching those people and helping to, you know, rebuild the family unit and helping you to deal with issues that you normally wouldn't, you know, want to go talk to anybody about, but you want to maybe catch a video in the privacy of your own home, you know. And Tina talked about things like, you know, how to get past the stigma, you know, that people have out there. She talked about, you know, all different types of subjects. And so we're going to share some of those videos through The Vault, and you'll soon be hearing about
them. Yay! All right, you guys, this is Women's Talk for tonight. It was great. It was fabulous, as usual. So make sure that you guys tune in next Thursday for the Men's Talk session. It is going to be a replay. Last month was so tough, we decided to let my wonderful co-host, shout out to Shaman Baba T, my co-host, that's my boo right there. He's going to take a little break. We're going to take a break and spend time with our families for Thanksgiving and enjoy. But the replay will be on, and you guys are not going to want to miss that. So set your timers for 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that will go on until 8 p.m. on that particular show. So make sure that you guys put it in your phone, put it in your calendar, and then going forward, this show will be aired every Thursday, 6 p.m., to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So I love you guys. Y'all be safe on the holidays. Please, please, please be safe. And if you're visiting your loved ones and if they have any ailments, make sure you wear your mask and protect people. Even if you don't believe in it and you don't think it's right, please protect those that cannot protect themselves, okay? So I love you guys. Y'all have an awesome, awesome, and amazing holiday. Love you guys. Mwah. Peace out.